Good morning, family.
Good morning.
How you doing this morning?
Good.
Y'all feel good?
Yeah.
I'm thankful that Marcus turned on the air conditioner. It was getting a little hot in here. Thought I might have to preach on hell this morning. Don't want to do that. We're in chapter 28 of the story, and if you have your outline, pull out your outline if it's near you. And we're going to be, you can just follow along that way. Whenever you see a yellow word up there on the screen that's been underlined, just look on your sheet and that's what you need to fill in. Last week we talked about what our task is as a church. And we've been looking at chapter 28 of the story and Acts 1 through 10 if you're looking in your Bible. And we learned that really the church had many tasks, but the main task was to get the message out, to bring the message of Christ to the world. And that is our task today, as we talked about last week. Today, I want to look at something from a little different perspective. I want to talk about, why are we here today? Why did you come? We're going to talk about today some maybe different aspects of our purpose as a church, as God's body to the world. You know, we could there's some obvious, you know, purposes for the church. We all know these things. But I mean, obviously, first of all, it's to worship God. But I want to make it clear to you that this should not be the only place that you worship God. You should be worshiping God throughout the week. And I'm not talking about singing necessarily. I'm not talking about praying. I'm talking about how you live your life, how you talk to people, how you treat the poor, how you talk to your neighbors and your coworkers. We worship when we represent Christ to the world. And you have to remember, worship is much more than just on Sunday mornings. Secondly, one of the obvious purposes of the church is to reach the lost with the good news of Jesus. That is, we have 3.2 billion, roughly, people in the world that have never heard the message, the sweet message of Jesus. We have a lot of work to do in our world today. Thirdly, it's to mature the body of believers. The importance of, you don't just get baptized and just kind of go about your way. The whole purpose is to mature you and to help you grow in your faith, to help you become like Jesus. And that obviously is the last one, and that is to help every believer understand that Christ-likeness is God's goal for each of us. He deposits His Spirit in you when you're baptized to help you in that process, to help us grow. So those are some obvious purposes of the church. But today, I want to talk about some things that we may not have or may have or may not have considered as purposes of the church. I think you'll enjoy it today. Let's pray as we begin. Lord our God, there is no God like you. You are the only true living God of this universe, and we honor you. And just today, Lord, we want to say we love you, and we want to say how honored we are to be your children. And I'm amazed, Lord, I'm just amazed at the last 2,000 years that with all of the splinters in the churches and all the different denominations and all the problems and sins the church has done, you still consider to call us your bride. And I thank you, Lord, that you continue to work through imperfect people. We thank you that this church is a hospital. It's not a place for perfect people. And we are grateful for that. And help us today, Lord, discover maybe some new things that we haven't thought about, the reason why we're here today. Not only is to worship you, to honor you, and to grow, but there's so many more things to it, Lord. And I pray today that you will speak to our hearts. We invite your Holy Spirit to be present. We ask that you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. I think this is where you start. And this is where you end. With the glory of God. Our purpose as a congregation is not to be impressive to the community, not to be entertained. It is to glorify God. It is to make Him look good. That is our purpose. It begins and it ends with that. There's nothing more important than we can do than to glorify God with our lives. A lot of people look at the church, they have different images, and we're going to look at different images in this message. But they look at the church like a movie theater, okay? It's someplace I can go and maybe I can be entertained and hear a good little message you know, we go out to the car and we critique, you know, well, this is where I felt about Tommy's songs, this is how I felt about the message today, and da-da-da, and we critique it like it's a movie theater or something. Well, I want to suggest to you that is not God's purpose. The purpose of the church, number one, more than anything else, is to make God look good. This is His church, and I mean, when you think about it, I mean, is our name on the marquee out there? It's not our names, is it? It's all about Jesus. This is His church, His body. And we don't come to get, we come to give. And you're going to support, you're going to learn the more you give, the more joy you have. Because we feel most fully alive when we are helping people, serving people, loving people. You're going to find that is true to be case if you haven't discovered that already in your life. You are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. I remember when I was at school at Lipscomb, I remember one of our, and I may have shared this story with you before, forgive me if I have, had one of our Bible students, and she was brilliant, excellent in Greek. I mean, she blew us all away, and especially in that area. But she had a really love for Jesus, and she got mixed up with a guy who was an atheist. And eventually, she came to the point that she didn't believe in God anymore, and she was leaving the university. And I remember seeing her in the common area, and I went up to her and I said, you know, hey, I just want you to know that I'm going to be praying for you. And she goes, don't pray for me. Don't bother. I said, why? I said, there's no God. I'm uninterested in this stuff anymore. I found something better. And I said, why do you feel this way? She goes, you want to know why? She goes, I think God is an egomaniac. An egomaniac? I've never heard anybody say that before. What do you mean? He goes, it's all about Him. It's all about Him. And I looked at her and I said, why wouldn't it be all about Him? Have you ever thought about the fact that He is sustaining your life at this very moment? He's giving you the next breath? And I proceeded to chat with her about, you know, why is God so worthy? And I didn't get very far, but she walked away. But I want to tell you this morning, as you've come here this morning, and you may be thinking that too. I mean, what's the deal? Why does God get all the glory? Let me tell you why God gets all the glory. He is the one that woke me up this morning. He is the one that sustains me. He is the one that gives us breath and life. He created my inmost being. He knit me together in my mother's womb. He knows everything about me. And I'm just getting started. Would you like me to stop or should I keep going? God has forgiven us. God has given us eternal life. God has given us peace and joy and hope and the Holy Spirit. He is worthy to be praised. We could go on. We could have a whole month-long series on this of why God is worthy. He is so worthy. And we are so undeserving of anything from Him. If you forgot, we're the kind of the bad guys in the bunch. We're the ones that have sinned against Him. And yet He has offered us for hope, forgiveness, and peace through Jesus Christ. Rick Warren says it best. He says, in our fallen universe, only two of God's creations fail to bring glory to Him. Fallen angels, demons, and us, people. All sin at its root is failing to give God's glory. It's loving anything else more than God. Refusing to bring glory to God is prideful rebellion. It is the sin that caused Satan's fall and ours too. In different ways, we have all lived for our own glory, but not God's. This is why Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I think he's right on target. And it's interesting that angels and us are the only ones that have freedom of choice. And what have we done with our freedom? We've chosen everything but God. So now that we're in Christ, now that we're following God, now that we're reconnected with Jesus, now my sole purpose in life can be the glory of God. It can be living for Him. That can be what I'm, because that is what God has made us for. God has made you and created you. You are special and precious to Him. Every person in this room, He knows intimately. He knows you better than you know yourself. And it's only when we get connected to His will, to His life, that we find life. Because we are created for a relationship with Him. And I'm getting way ahead of myself. When anything in creation fulfills its purpose, it brings glory to God. For example, birds. When birds chirp, when they lay eggs, when they raise their young, when they fly, they are glorifying God. Because that is what God created them for. He created ants for a purpose. Snakes have a purpose. Mosquitoes have a purpose. I'm going to ask the Lord about that one. Everything He has created has meaning and a reason. How can we bring glory to God? By fulfilling our purpose. By fulfilling our purpose. Why we're here. It's not about making money. It is not about jobs. It is not about video games and internet and all those things. It is about knowing your Creator. And that is one of the reasons and one of our purposes. And this is something we could talk about a lot. And maybe we will next year. I don't know what we're planning to do. What elders are talking about our plans for next year. But why did God create you? Why are you here? He created you for a relationship with Him. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to love Him. He wants you to be connected with Him because we only feel fully alive. I was so spiritually dead the first 24 years of my life. I was dead. I had no purpose. I had no meaning. Nothing meant anything. And Jesus Christ has completely transformed and changed my life. He gives you purpose. He gives every person in this room purpose. If you will allow Him to do that. God created you for... You're not an accident. Some people think we're accidents. But we're not. So why are you here on this earth? Why are we here? You're here to know, to love God. That's going to take an eternity to understand God. It's to fulfill your purpose. You have a destiny. You have a reason why you're here. It's more than the workplace. It is more than the anything else. It is getting to know your Creator. That is your purpose. To know, to love Him. Because once we get to know and love Him, we get to know ourselves. Obviously, to prepare for eternity. Jesus, what's so wonderful about Jesus, not only did He die for me, but God has given me an example to follow. When I wonder what I should do in any given situation, look to Jesus. He is my example to follow. So our purpose is to glorify God. We get that. That's the most important thing. Secondly, our purpose is to promote unity. And notice you don't see any church buildings there. Because why? Who's the church? We are. We are the church. Our second purpose, not only to glorify God, is to promote unity. Jesus said, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, and all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them glory, the glory that you gave me, and that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." This is what is on the mind of Jesus before the cross. It is on unity. It is on our oneness. And He says, "If may they be one, so why? So that the world may believe that you have sent me." Do you know why a lot of people don't believe in Jesus? Want nothing to do with God. It is because of the factions in the church today. It is splintered into over 3,000 different denominations. And we've got people that, and I remember in Brazil, one of my language teacher, brilliant girl. She was very smart, very good teacher. We were talking one day about, and I talked to her about, what do you think about Jesus? Jesus? She goes, because I want nothing to do with that stuff. She goes, that all those Christians do is fight. Who wants anything to do with that? That is an example of why we have problems in our world today. Our disunity has absolutely killed our witness for Jesus. It has hurt it. Probably more than we ever realize. How much farther would God's kingdom be now if we had sought to get along with each other, sought to work things through? So my question to you today is how can we have unity in spite of our differences? We all have differences of opinion. God knew that. So how do we get along? Paul tells us in Ephesians, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That is our task. Make the effort. Keep unity. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Unity begins, notice, in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It begins in God Himself. And it should be a part of His church. We need to find out more about what we have in common with people than our differences. Amen? We have lots of differences in our world today, in the church. People have differences of opinion about things. But the bottom line is we have the same Savior, the same Father, and the same Spirit. You know, I like to look at it like it's like the idea of Baskin-Robbins. Baskin-Robbins has 31 different flavors, so they say. But it's all still ice cream, isn't it? It's still ice cream. And I don't like certain brands of ice cream. Pistachio, absolutely not. Chocolate chip, yes. And other ones, they're okay. And I think we need to look at sometimes that our diversity is a good thing. Is a good thing. Does it matter what a church teaches? Absolutely. Absolutely. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hands down, that is the most important thing. Secondly, the Bible is the Word of God. Don't go to any church where they don't teach the Bible, where it's just a guy up there talking about his opinion and his philosophies and his psychology lesson for the week. That's not Scripture. Scripture is what should be found in every sermon that you hear. Salvation is trusting in Jesus alone. It's repentance from sin. It's baptism by immersion. Those are important things. Only one way to heaven through Jesus. There are certain things that are, I can't bargain in that area. There's certain areas that are important that we must hold to. So it matters what every church teaches. Now, it seems judging other groups is nothing new. You know? It seems there is that problem among the disciples. Teachers said, John, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said, for no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. Forever who is not against us is for us. Truly, I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. I find that interesting. John says, hey, he's not one of us. And Jesus is like, don't stop it. If he's doing things in my name, we have no right to say anything bad about him. That's a powerful truth. Very powerful truth. Do I agree with all churches? No, I don't. And I know you don't either. There are certain churches that teach things that I just absolutely don't disagree with. Will I fellowship with them? Yes, I'll fellowship with them if they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and are following Him and love Him with all their heart. I don't think we have to agree with everybody to get along with everybody. And this brings us, do we at Forest Mill agree with each other on everything? I don't think so. I think if we stood up here and said, okay, what do you think about the Holy Spirit? We get 25, 30 different, probably 100 different answers. So does that mean we don't get along? Does that mean we don't meet together just because we have differences of opinion about things? No. Because there are certain things that are eternal, you cannot change them, and there are certain things that have to do with our preference or what we think. Our task is not to figure out who's in and who's out. Our task is to figure out, how can I build bridges to other people? How can I build bridges to other churches? That is the task of what I need to be worrying about and thinking about. And I'm so proud of this fellowship. You do not realize what people saw on October 12th. For those of you that weren't here for the first time, we did a big outreach with 12 other churches, different denominations, all working together in the name of Jesus. We wanted to help our community. We wanted to serve them, provide clothes and free medical care, dental care, all kinds of stuff, working along with Convoy of Hope. I'm just amazed at this congregation. I'm amazed at the servants in this place. I am absolutely blown away with our eldership. I have never encountered elders that love people so much, that are so concerned about unity. We were in Brazil and we were, you know, having an interview with the church, and we had a couple interviews before we came here, and they were very negative interviews and just didn't work out. And first question the elders asked me is, are you comfortable working with other denominations? I was just like, whoa. I said, absolutely. I couldn't believe it. I've never had an eldership ask me that question before. We have something very special in this congregation. I hope you realize it. This is a very unusual Church of Christ. And I think you should be thankful and praise God that you're here and a part of what God's doing here. Because God is moving in this city. The city is doing a lot of special things in this city. I'm amazed that I look at that girl in that purple. She has, look at her face. Doesn't have a lot of hope, does she? That is what it is about. We are about bringing hope to people. And what I loved about that day was, and Jewel, you're right there. And that's John Luke. Is John Luke here? Oh, rats. And this is Ronnie. Raise your hand, Ronnie. Ronnie's saying, please don't bring another hot dog. No more hot dogs. But we spent the day ministering to the people of our community. And by the way, it's not done. The doctors and dentists have invited all the people that they were ministering to. And they said, hey, if you got a problem, we'll come to our offices, we'll help you. And they've spent several weeks doing that. And I applaud you guys for showing that love and kindness to our community. And that's what it's about, guys. That is exactly what it's about, is reaching people with the good news of Jesus and unity. So our purpose as a church, to make God look good, to promote unity. Thirdly, our purpose, and this is where I really want to camp for a couple minutes here. Our purpose is to encourage and edify, to build up the body of Christ. When we use the word edify, that's what we mean, to build up. Paul says, it was he, the Holy Spirit, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, evangelists, pastors. And by the way, the word pastor, elder, or you can use the word presbyter, and shepherd are all the same office. For those of you that are wondering why you don't call me pastor, I'm just an evangelist. Okay, we have 5 shepherds here, and they are the leaders of our church. Pastor, elder, and shepherd are all the same person in the New Testament. They're just describing different functions that they have. Some to be evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to prepare. Literally, doctors use this term to set broken bones. Prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I love that word prepare. It means literally to set broken bones. And I think about the task of all of us as people come into this congregation. It is broken people that are coming here that need hope, that need mending, that need encouragement. And this is the reason God is this is our task as as the shepherds and myself as an evangelist, it's to prepare God's people for works of service. And what's the reason? So that the body of Christ may be edified, they may be built up, and until we all reach unity and the knowledge of the Son of God, becoming mature. God wants us to grow up, and we do it through serving. So how can we be edified? How can the body of the church be built up? By serving people. By serving people. A lot of people misunderstand and they say, you know, the church is kind of like a restaurant. You know, it's where I come and get served. You know, I get fed and I get, yeah, I mean, I could see that to a point. But let me tell you something. Having a consumer mentality ain't going to work. Because when it's all about you and you're consuming, you're not going to grow. Where you grow is you go into the kitchen. That's where you grow. To serve. To get your feet wet. So we build people up with our service. We build people up, too, with our words. Gossip, criticism, negativity, it tears things down. And I want to encourage you, the next time somebody comes to you and maybe shares something that sounds like gossip, you ask the person, this stops it right in its tracks, have you shared this with that person? Have you talked about this problem with that person? I suggest you do. And stop the gossip when it happens. Our words, when we think about building people up, they have power. They have power, the power of life and death in them. You know, and I knew this lady, and she still lives in Nashville. She'd been divorced. Her husband had committed adultery back in 1970. And she was going to a church in Murfreesboro, and she was getting remarried. And one of the elders came up to her at this particular church and told her that she was sinning and she was wrong and that she should not marry this second guy. If she did, she was going to go to hell. This woman has not stepped in church since 1970. She's been on occasion, but she can't find a church home. Does that man realize that what he said to that woman has affected her to this day? Probably not. My question I've wrestled with all week is how many people have left Christ because of something I have said? Because I say dumb things. Why do we shoot our own wounded when they need hope and they need encouragement? And I thank God that we have the divorce care and the single parenting. That this church is offering things that will encourage people and help them. And that is what is all about. Think about your words. The power of your words. When I think about words, I think about authentic and transparent people. Luke says, every day they continued to meet together, the early church and the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Have you ever thought about this? We edify, we build people up, not only with our words, not only with serving, but with our joy and our sincerity, authenticity, transparency, being yourself. Being you and saying, I'm a sinner, I'm messed up, but God saved me. That edifies people. Joy edifies people. Let's look at them briefly. It's contagious. You know, does anybody know John Payne? Anybody know John Payne? He's the minister over at Wilson Avenue Church of Christ in Tullahoma. He was my teacher at Lipscomb. John is one of these guys you get around. He is so full of joy. He's always smiling. Isn't that right? Contagious, man. It's contagious to be around him. Because you want to start smiling. You know, we should be the happiest people on this planet. You've got eternal life. You've got forgiveness. You've got something to look forward to after death. But, oh, we got to mope around. You know, the economy stinks. And, oh, man, I'm just bumming. And, man, look what we got. Focus on where you're going and what you have. And that joy is contagious to a world that needs to see some joy, authentic joy. How does being transparent and sincere edify others? How many here have a gym member? How many have a membership to the rec center? Okay. How many here go on a regular basis? Derek's going to raise his hand. Yeah, Derek, I see. How many feel good that they got a membership? And it makes them feel good, but they don't go. You know why I don't like going to the gym? Because everybody at the gym looks great. You don't see Fat Albert coming, hey, get out of my way. I want to get on the machine today. I don't like going to the gym for that reason, because I look awful. But we think everyone's got it together there, but I bet, Derek, if we talk to you, we say, no, man, I'm working on this, and I got this area to work on. He'll say he doesn't have it together, even though he looks like he has it together. Do you know what the problem in the church is? We all look like we have it together. And people come off the street and see this, and they say, well, man, I can't be like that. And well, they got no problems in their lives. Guess what? Shh. Guess what, family? No one in this place has got it together. That's our secret, okay? Everyone in this place is struggling. Amen? We all got issues we're working on. We all got family problems. We all got problems at work. And this jerk boss I'm working with, and not that I have any jerks I'm working with. Guess I better be careful how I say that. In all sincerity, I have never worked with a finer eldership. And I mean that from all sincerity, my heart. But just think about it. We think they got it all together, but here I'm telling you, we don't. And nobody in this room got it together. This is a hospital, and we're sick, and we're spiritually sick, and we need the message of grace to comfort us and encourage us. Did we die? Nope. So the point is today, I think it's time to take off the mask. You want to build people up, you want to edify them, be yourself. Tell people, I don't got it all together. I'm working on this in my life. I love it when people are transparent. Why do you people like to go AA? Because it is an area where people are transparent and honest. Edification and building up the body of Christ comes when we serve one another in love, when we use encouraging words, not flattery, when we're filled with joy and we're authentic people. If building each other up is so important to God, and it is, why are we in such a hurry to leave here? Now, I understand some of you have commitments that you make with your family on a weekly basis. I understand that. But what I'm here to tell you today is God says, let's make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. And when I split, as soon as the amen says, I'm missing out on an opportunity to bless my brother. By leaving quickly every week, we treat the church like a gas station. I come in, I get pumped up, and I leave without giving anything. Oh, think about all the opportunities you have to minister to people, to encourage people. Maybe they need to hear from you today. Our purpose as a church is to glorify God, to promote unity, to build each other up by serving one another, by using encouraging words, having a joyous and authentic lifestyle. And this is the one, as we close today, I want to focus on very quickly. It's to learn how to love each other unconditionally. If you go through life and never learn how to love someone unconditionally, you've missed out on one of life's greatest lessons. Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone know that you are my disciples, if you all agree doctrinally. Isn't that what it's supposed to be? You offer the right programs. Eh? you love one another. We got to get out of the judging business. We've got to love. God's purpose to learn how to love people, you know, and this is something that, a lesson that you will learn if you've been in the church long enough. Christians will disappoint you. Christians will hurt you. They will say dumb things. They will do dumb things. But that's no reason to walk away. Because there's no perfect church to escape to. You're going to have the same problem at the next church. Because it's a hospital for sinners. And everybody's imperfect in here. So we don't need to treat church like Walmart. You know, if I don't get what I want, you know, I'm just going to go church shopping for a while. I'm going to go find what I want that's going to minister to me and my needs. But if you do that, you're missing out on an important lesson. And that is, God wants to teach us how to reconcile, to forgive, and love difficult people. He does. And every time that you get mad and walk away, you're going to lose an opportunity to grow. And guess what? The next church you go to, God is going to send the same type of person to you to see if you're going to want to grow or not. Just to make sure. Annoying people are the ones that need the most love. And Randy Harris is right. I remember him saying this in class. He said, every church has annoying people so that God can test us and refine us. I believe that with all my heart. I don't look at your neighbor now. Our purpose, as we close, to glorify God, to promote unity, to build each other up, to learn how to love unconditionally. I'm going to share one story and then the message is yours. Tony Campolo is a professor of sociology at Eastern College. He's also a pastor for a local church. He tells a story how he visited Honolulu for a Christian conference. On his first night there, he awoke sometime after 3 in the morning. And he went to a place to look for something to eat. And he found a diner near the hotel. Fat guy came up behind the counter and said, "What do you want?" I told him I wanted a cup of coffee and a donut. And as I sat there munching on my donut and sipping my coffee at 3:30 in the morning, the door suddenly opened and 9 prostitutes walked in to the diner. Their talk was loud and rude. I felt completely out of place. I was just about to make my getaway when I heard one of them say, "You know, tomorrow is my birthday. I'm going to be 39. Her friend responded in a rather sarcastic tone, "So what do you want me to do? Do you want me to throw you a birthday party? What do you want? Do you want me to get a cake or something and sing happy birthday to you?" "Come on," the woman said. Why do you have to be so mean? I'm just telling you that's all I want. Why do you have to put me down? I've never had a birthday party in my whole life. Why should I have one now?" Tony was listening, and as soon as they left, he talked to the cook, and he said, "Are those prostitutes in here every night at 3:30? He said, "Yeah, they're in here every night at 3:30. He goes, "Hey, I'd like to do something. Would you like to participate?" And he's like, "What are you going to do?" And he said, "I'd like for you to make a birthday cake for that lady. And let's make the place look really nice and everything, and when she comes in tomorrow, we'll sing happy birthday to her." So 2:30 the next morning, Tony is back. He's getting the diner ready. He puts up, you know, balloons and everything. At 3:30, the door opens. And the woman, her name is Agnes, walks in. And they all started singing, "Happy birthday, Agnes!" And she was so flabbergasted, so stunned, so shaken, she started to cry. And they all said, "Hey, cut the cake, cut the cake." And she looked at him and said, "Can I just hold on to the cake for a little while?" He says, the cook said, he said, "Well, keep the cake and take it home if you want." So Agnes said, "I think I'm going to do that." And as she walked out the door, she looked like she was holding the most important thing she'd ever possessed in her life in her hands. And when the door closed behind her, there was stunned silence in the place. Not knowing what else to do, I broke the silence by saying, this is a typical preacher, what do you say we pray together? Looking back on it now, it seems more than a little strange that a sociologist from eastern Pennsylvania could be leading a prayer meeting with a bunch of prostitutes in a diner in Honolulu at 3:30 in the morning. But I prayed. I prayed for Agnes. I prayed for her salvation. I prayed for her life would be changed, that God would open her heart to her. And when I finished, the cook said to me, with a trace of hostility in his voice, hey, you never told me you were a preacher. What kind of preacher are you anyway? What church do you belong to? And he said, I belong to the church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes at 3:30 in the morning. Upon which he replied, no, you don't. There's no church like that. In fact, he said, if there was, I'd join it. I want to be that type of church. Don't you? Our purpose is to be the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus. Let's all stand as we close today. I know I've gone way over. I apologize. Grab a hand of somebody next to you. Let's pray together. Forgive us, Lord. We have robbed you of your glory and thought church was all about us and our needs. Help us make you look good in our daily lives. Forgive us, Father, for our disunity in the Christian church today. We pray for unity here in Manchester and that we will continue to spread this unity throughout all Tennessee and through the South, through America, and to the world. Help us continue to build bridges to other churches, Father, here. We thank you for the eldership here, that they have that insight to do that. Father, give us opportunities today to build your people up here at Forest Mill. Forgive us for tearing folks down with gossip and criticism and negativity. Lord, help us. Help us edify with our words. Give us opportunities to serve one another in love. And I pray our relationships here will be authentic, they will be transparent, and they will be sincere. Give us courage to take off our masks and be real, Father, with each other. Lord God, I just teach us how to love each other unconditionally, not to run away when we have problems, but Lord, to help us when we have been hurt by other Christians to learn how to forgive and reconcile. And we thank you for the diversity of this congregation. We thank you for difficult people. We thank you, Father. Maybe we are the ones who are the annoying ones, Father. But whatever the case, we ask that you help us to love each other unconditionally and to teach us all that you are wanting us, what you're wanting us to know. And Lord God, I pray that you'll help us finally to be that church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes at 3:30 a.m. so that we will be known by this community as a church that cares, a church that brings hope and healing to people that are hurting. In Jesus' name. And all the church said?
Amen.
Today, if we can assist you in any way, won't you come as we sing?
Let us come to know.